offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. You know that we study the 1990 Samukho series in this part of Thursday Life. We've been through 12 discourses in the series. We're in the middle of the 13th one. We hope to complete it today. As always, I'm being joined by Brother Sai Prakash to co-host the show. But we do have a special guest too, as we've had many times before. And we are very, very happy to have in our midst Mrs. Fani Banda. Sairam Aunty, and very well, warm welcome to you.
Sairam Priya.
I think very long back we started this series with you. You're one of the earliest guests. And I think we've gone through close to 50 episodes so far. I think I just happened to realize it today. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful to have you once again on the show, Aunty.
Thank you.
For the benefit of all the listeners, much of the wisdom that came through in many of the episodes were based on telephonic conversations with Aunty. And Aunty has been participating in this series from Mumbai. Today we have the privilege of having Aunty here with us. We are so happy, Aunty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sai Prakash.
The 13th discourse which we are going through, entitled, What is Freedom? As always, every discourse, Swami has redefined what we already knew. Swami gave us new insights into things which we thought that we always knew. And I think this discourse is no different from that. Swami has given us wonderful explanations of what is freedom and in essence told us that there is no freedom.
So that's true. The surprising part was he said even the creator does not have freedom. He's also bound by his creation. And the whole thing is Swami starts with defining what is spirituality. And the whole misconception of having a lonely life, a person who is spiritual, being cut off from society and doing penance for one's own emancipation. I think Swami breaks all those notions and says that you have to have a collective living in society.
Yes, and in fact he says there's no difference between spirituality and freedom.
Correct.
Spirituality means being established in the Atma.
Mm-hmm.
When you're established in the Atma, then you have true freedom.
True freedom, that's right.
So he says there's no separate freedom and spirituality as being different.
Correct.
From each other.
And so beautifully Swami starts with, he says, people think that spirituality, they don't understand what is the meaning of spirituality. And he says the only true spirituality is when you see the unity in the entire creation. And he redefines the concept of Hridayam or heart. And Hridayam, he says, is that which is all-pervasive.
He says true freedom springs forth from the level of the heart.
Correct.
Yes. And he says it consists in recognizing and realizing this heart,
mm-hmm.
this divine principle.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing which one becomes the knower of everything.
Correct. Now, we have done a few episodes on this discourse and we have gone through all different types of combinations. And one thing which we came across, Aunty, in this, when we were discussing, is in this physical form, when Swami was with us, he demonstrated with his life, he showed us that freedom is not the freedom of the physical body. It's not that as a person I can move wherever I want. He confined his physical frame so much, but in the true sense of the term, he was always free.
Yes.
So that contrast that is very difficult for people to understand. Otherwise, you see, if I am able to put on the Travel and Living channel in the television, and then I see this place, and I want to buy a ticket and go there, we think that is freedom.
Yes.
But
yes.
It is more than that.
Yes. He says, it's only fulfilling your desires when you do what is for your personal benefit, what you like. It's not freedom, but it's only that you're fulfilling whatever you wish, your desires.
That's a very beautiful point, because he brings it here. He says that when you do something which you think you want to do, so you are acting under the compulsion of your desire. You're not free from your desire. That's not
true. He goes on to extend that even to offering help to somebody. He said you see somebody in need, you go and help them.
Yes.
But you're nothing but under the compulsive influence of the nature of sattva in you.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
So he says, so this whole concept of freedom and whole concept of what is Hridayam and the question of true freedom arising from unity in creation.
Yes.
I think that has been more or less the summary of what Swami has spoken this far in this discourse. But Aunty, if you can we go through point by point and say what exactly is freedom? Summary of what Swami has actually spoken thus far in this discourse.
Yes, he says also that you can have real freedom only when the mind is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the mind is there,
mm-hmm.
and you have all these dualities, and even the notion of freedom and bondage is just a concoction of your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, Ekam Sat, when existence is one,
mm-hmm.
where is the question of freedom, of talking about freedom?
Mm-hmm.
How can there be freedom?
Mm-hmm.
And he says that words like swabhav, he explains, swabhav means nature of the Atma.
Correct.
Or svecha, which is decision or
Ichha.
Yes, your Ichha. Yes, it should be in line, aligned with the Atma.
Mm.
So there is no point in using such words in connection with body, senses, mind, buddhi. They can only pertain to the Atma.
In this context, Swami redefines freedom in the background of this political freedom.
Yes.
He says,
yes.
You think we are a free nation, but you are come under the rule of your own people. It's not, the political freedom is just a misnomer. That's
right. Swami actually makes a very beautiful point there. He says, your lordship has changed. From foreigners, you're being ruled by your people. And then Swami says, you will get true freedom only when you get unity.
Yes.
In a political sense, that is a very profound statement.
Yeah.
Swami saying you need unity in the nation. But that unity might as well refer to what Swami says of the Ekatma, you know, that real unity.
Yes. When that is there established in the people, then they can live that outwardly. Otherwise, there's no real unity. And as Swami says, you talk, you think that, you know, you can, you have freedom of, to speak whatever you want from a public platform. And so you feel you have freedom. But that is only freedom of words.
Correct. It's very strange because what I'm gathering from this whole discussion is, if you realize the unity in this entire creation, then your perception to this creation changes.
Yes.
And you are truly free in the sense of the term. But my question is, how does it reflect on to others? What will they look at when they see you? If you are free, I think the only reflection of a person who is absolutely free is he's all the time happy. Isn't that right?
Yes. And this equal-mindedness.
Correct. Correct.
In fact, Swami once said that we may wonder, how far have I progressed spiritually? And he says that equal-mindedness is a measure of your spiritual progress.
Okay. That equal-mindedness comes from the fact that when you understand and live the experience of things happening through you, rather than you trying to do things.
Yes.
I think that's what defines that.
So, you know who is the doer.
That's the point, yes. That's the point. So I think at that, when you are in that state of understanding and experience all the time, then you are truly free and then always equal-minded. Isn't that right? I think it's easier said than done. But then what does Swami say after that?
He says, one who has freedom does not take birth in this world.
Okay.
One who has freedom does not take birth.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, one who enters the world with a body
cannot have freedom,
meaning absolute freedom. Actually, everyone is bound by the eternal law of reaction, resound, reflection. And as he says, bound by the laws of nature, bound by man-made laws. So, anyone who has a body and, lives, who can't actually use the term perhaps absolute freedoms. But one is aware of it inwardly.
Auntie, yes, at the physical level, this is right. But I think at the subtler level, we are bound by our gunas.
Yes.
Because
yes.
That's exactly what Swami is saying. You want to help somebody,
yes.
You are not free from the guna your sattva guna is making you do help.
Yes.
You want to scold somebody, yes. Your rajo guna is leading you.
Yes.
So we are not even free from our own gunas.
Yes. This is the mind is a mixture of gunas.
Correct.
And as long as you are under the influence of the gunas,
you can't be free.
Mm. So someone who is drawing a parallel between the way medicine is being practiced today versus medicine was being practiced in the Vedic times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now medicine is almost completely based on symptoms. What is your symptoms? Mm-hmm. And almost the first effort is always to deal with the symptoms.
Okay.
And they were saying that the same thing we are doing even with our nature and we are trying to, with our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from what Swami is telling, it's very clear that freedom is something which comes out of the understanding, that out of that realization.
Correct.
But we are trying to look for the freedom first. We are saying that let's get the freedom.
Yeah, you are trying to see the result. That's what you are
right.
trying to say.
You are trying to see what would be an outcome of reaching that state.
Manifestation.
Yes.
Manifestation of that state.
Yes.
It's amazing because I've heard it from a couple of people. At times when Swami is inside the interview room, they say there are times when Swami is just sitting there. And he is more or less, just the body is there. And Swami is lost in a trance, if I may say so.
Mm.
But I don't know, in that state of freedom, he is just one with the entire creation. That's what I suppose it is. And then he comes back and he says, yes, there is a limitation of this body.
In fact, interestingly, one of my classmates was sharing. He was in the interview room with Swami. He was alone there, nobody else, only Swami. And Swami is talking something to him and... You know, typically Swami is, the way he does it, in between sentences Swami will be lost for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then again he'll come back and he'll ask a question. Or you give an answer, Swami will be thinking. I mean, it'll appear like Swami is reflecting over it, of course not. And at one point, Swami was lost for a very long time.
Okay.
So he said, for over a couple of minutes, and Swami's eyes were open.
Mm-hmm.
Swami was looking up and Swami was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And this boy was waiting, he didn't know what to do. You cannot disturb Swami when Swami is in that kind of a state.
Yes.
Suddenly Swami woke up with a jerk, literally. You know? Swami just jerked up like that. And Swami looked at his hands, both hands.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, body.
Mm.
Oh.
Almost like, you know, I've come back to the body.
Yes.
And he was saying that, you know, that feeling of Swami being sucked into this physical frame, I think almost more because of, you know, this boy is sitting there and seeing Swami only as that body.
Mm.
And Swami was reflecting that idea, saying that, oh, it's the body.
Oh my God,
really?
That's amazing.
Yes.
And to reach that state, I think it is absolute awareness, constant integrated awareness, as Swami says,
yes.
Of your true nature. Isn't that right, Aunt?
Absolutely. Yes.
So only that will lead you to true freedom.
Yes.
And then Swami goes on to say about the heart, the hridayam.
Yes.
And he says, this hridayam is all pervasive.
Yes.
Are there any points on that, Aunty?
You know, he is mentioned here about Udalaka and Shweta Ketu.
Mm.
Right.
And how the father used to, you know, when he came back with this knowledge, which was not the knowledge of the Atman, and he was proud of the other knowledge which he had got. And his father tries to drive home the point. And he gives it with many, many examples, simple, practical examples.
Mm.
And after everyone... which it way, tries to bring out the nature of the self. He says, that thou art, O Shweta Ketu, that thou art.
Mm.
This one of the nice little examples where he tells him that there's a banyan tree there.
Mm-hmm.
Go and get a fruit from there.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings the fruit.
Mm.
And then he says, what's in the fruit?
Mm-hmm.
So the boy opens the fruit. He says, many seeds are there. He says, what's in the seeds?
Mm-hmm.
So then he opens one of the seeds. And he says, nothing. So the father says that what you are calling nothing is everything. How can a big banyan tree like this come out of nothing? So he tells him that which you are calling nothing is everything, but it is so subtle that it is far beyond the senses and the mind. So you cannot comprehend it. And he tells him that that is all pervading.
Okay.
And that what you are calling nothing is the... heart, this
Hridayam.
Spiritual heart, yes, this all-pervasive spiritual heart. And he makes them understand the statement, Bija Mam Sarva Bhutanam.
I think that wonderful incident which Rangarajan sir narrated about the seed, you remember that sir was sharing when he was here in the show. He was saying that in one particular interview, Swami gave prasadam, I think Swami gave some figs or something, some particular fruit, which had a seed in it. I don't know which fruit was that. So everybody had their fruit and they were having the seed in their hand. They were wondering what to do. You cannot get up without Swami's permission, and they had to go and put it away and wash their hands. And suddenly Swami got up from his throne and came to them and said, "Give me the seeds. Give me the seeds."
Okay.
And they're wondering how to give the seeds to Swami. You know, you've eaten it, you spit it out from your mouth. Swami said, "No, no, no. The seed belongs to me. The fruit is yours, the seed is mine."
Very nice.
I mean, a very simple incident, but such a profound message in that.
And then there's this beautiful thing about surrender, auntie. Swami talks about surrender. He says people say I have surrendered and they are happy as long as things are in their favor. But one who has truly surrendered, I think he has to go beyond the duality.
Yes. And Swami says that you complain that there's no end to my problems or whatever. And he always says that feel whatever happens is good for me.
Correct.
And Swami knows, God knows what to do, when to do, how to do.
And just as I think a child goes from class 1 to class 10,
yes,
the more you want to surrender to him, the situations in life become tougher, I suppose.
But I think that could be said as one of the common things in all devotees' lives. One thing which people think that you've come to Swami, it's the end of your problems, you know, it's the end of all your worries. It is. It has to be, but not in the way we understand it. It's not the vanishing of all the problems and worries and obstacles.
Only through higher understanding you can overcome these problems.
Right. You know, Swami mentioned about I. That how the I is constant. Even when you are asked, who are you? Everybody says, I am. So I was just reminded of a little incident. You know, when my twin daughters, they're just 3 and a half. And people used to ask them, who's older? And Swami asked them the same question, being aware of it. He says, so tell me which one of you is older. So one of them said, I, Swami. Then Swami said, no. I is everywhere. Again, I is just this hridayam, spiritual heart. He said, I is everywhere. I cannot be old. I cannot be young. I has no birth or death. Then he said, even if one is very young, but if you have good qualities, people respect you and give you respect for that. So he said, I will see who is more obedient, who has more self-control, who has good qualities. And then we will know who is older, you know. So he conveyed, you know, in this way, that age is not measured by years, but by good qualities.
Then this famous examples of sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam. And he says how we are bound by this. This is various, as sambandham is relationship.
And interesting, you know, Swami is talking about freedom. But I think these are terms which Swami uses when he talks about dharma or one's duty. Also.
Yes.
Sambandham is actually, I think, can be translated as relations, relationship. So basically you are bound by, the body is bound by the relationships you have. And who are your relatives and your friends. And then nirbandham is compulsion. And then kartavyam is obligation.
Yes.
So he gives those three beautiful examples where he says you are bound by these three factors. Sambandham. And as we discussed last time, he made this most profound statement where he says it's because people are not following this sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam, there is decline in dharma. And that's the reason for the avatar to come down.
The other beautiful thing is, I think, you know, you cannot jump any step with Swami. You can think that, okay, we're supposed to go beyond the sambandham relationships.
Correct.
You cannot drop it unless you have fulfilled it. You've, you know, completed it. I remember one of my classmates, Swami had called him after his you know, master's, and Swami said, join for research and go and stay in the hostel. Some of this boy didn't like the idea. He said, Swami, I've had enough of studies.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to serve you. I don't want to do anything more. I don't want a job. I don't want anything. I'll just serve you, Swami. I mean, I don't even want a salary.
Mm.
You know, it sounded like a very lofty ideal. And he was saying it with a true heart. It's not like he was faking it or something. Swami said, no, this is good for you. You go to the hostel. You stay there. And when time comes, everything will change. Swami tells him. And very reluctantly and very bitterly, he was going through that, you know, stay in the hostel. And one day there was some problem at home. And they had asked him to ask Swami about what to do. So he went up to Swami and he said, Swami, this is a problem. And immediately Swami said, you don't have any of these relationships and all. You said, you don't have any duties. I want to be only with Swami. Now you're coming and asking me like this.
Oh.
You know, pointing out at the right time, saying that, see, until you have completed all these things, until you have... You know, in
but
a mental
I
level,
think,
overcome all these.
I think, yeah, at the mental level, but at the physical level, till you are alive, you cannot come out from these obligations. Am I right? The body is bound by them and you have to continue to fulfill your obligations to society,
yes.
to your relations,
yes.
till the very end.
Yes.
There is no coming out of it as such. Only at the mental level and at the spiritual level, you can be free.
Right.
But as long as the body is there, it's bound.
Yes.
I know... Swami also mentioned about the unifying effect of body and Atma, that the actions which you do with the body should be based on the Atma, which one can call that the practice of Visishta Advaita.
Okay. You know,
Swami gives a nice example of the sugar cane, and he says that the sugar cane sticks, they have different bends. So that is the duality, the sugarcane sticks. But inside, the juice is one and the same, the sugarcane juice. However, if the sugarcane juice is to be used, you first have to convert it into sugar. Then you can use it in everything, in the tea, coffee, payasam, etc. It can't be used otherwise like that. So he says that Visishta Advaita is sugar. Advaita is the sugarcane juice.
Okay.
Advaita in action is Visishta Advaita.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yes.
So you mix the aspect of Atma and base your life on the aspect of Atma. And then you do the actions, you do your duty. You carry out the obligations.
While your mind is always focused on the reality.
Yes.
That is Visishta Advaita.
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic. And then he says, he goes to explain about this Salokyam, Samipyam, Sarupyam and Sayujyam. He says these are categorized as different states of experiences. But in reality they are one and the same. It's the spiritual experience of oneness.
Yes.
These
all
are stages.
The four steps, yes.
Yes.
Leading you. So, Salokya, he says, is when you think of God. As Swami says, the whole universe is my mansion. So, you are thinking of Him. You are living in the world in which God is omnipresent. You know that He is the protector of all. And then, Samipyam, where you foster the mental proximity. And you follow Swami's instructions and like doing service in society and you acquire this mental proximity to Him and serve Him in others. And then Sarupyam is like Yad Bhavam Tad Bhavati. The example of Bharata who was always thinking of Rama, in fact began to look like him so much so that the people didn't know, is this Rama when Rama returned or is this
Bharata?
Know? Yes. And,
and
then
Sayujyam. Ultimate merger.
Yes.
It's interesting because I think after this point, after a couple of points, Swami talks about how the avatars behave, how the avatars lead their lives when they are here. And that was very interesting because Swami says, Swami says people think that Swami is angry with somebody or Swami likes somebody or Swami dislikes somebody. But for Him, all are the same. He is always, everybody is equal. And I think I mentioned this also in the previous session, but you know, something very interesting, when Swami looks angry or upset, quote unquote angry, you know, he's literally shouting at somebody on this side, he will just turn the other side and give a beautiful smile. Yes. You know, it's just lip service.
Yes.
So that's really amazing. And so basically he's saying you can't constrain him to what his body is exhibiting at that moment of time. So is that true even with his love and with his anger and with everything that...
He says that it's love in a different form.
Okay, beautiful.
Because it's beneficial for you.
Correct.
Mm. In fact, once I think somebody was complaining to Swami that, Swami, you've not spoken to me for so many days, you've not looked at me for so many days, mm-hmm. and you don't love me, Swami. Mm. And Swami corrected him by saying that, I love everybody. Hmm. What you're asking is for a certain expression of that love.
Oh.
Say
yes.
that is not coming. Yes. Don't say there is no love.
Yes. That's based on our understanding of...
right.
And very clearly after that Swami says, spirituality is merger with God. That's it. There's no, and he gives a beautiful example of Shivoham, Shivoham.
Yes.
And the guru teaches the disciple Shivoham, Shivoham.
and
the friend comes and asks, if you are Shiva, What does Parvati mean to you?
Yes.
And he was totally, oh, this is wrong, this is a mistake,
yes.
this is a mistake.
Yes.
Swami said, if he really believed in it, he should say, I am Parvati as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was an amazing example. And I think that's more or less what so we have come up to.
Right. And I think towards the end, a small part by Swami saying, why do you have to come to the Lord and say that, you're my mother, you're my father, you're my friend.
Mm-hmm.
He said, these are all only states. You
yes.
have to claim that.
Yes.
You and I are one.
Mm. Mm.
You know, once he said in Thrice session, mm. you need not say long prayers.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, I am you and you are me,
mm-hmm.
it's enough. In fact, he added, I am you and you are me and all your property is mine. That's what he said. So, the divine bliss, the divine selfless love,
mm.
peace,
mm.
it is all his property.
Mm.
And in this, actually this Sayujyam,
mm-hmm.
He said somewhere else that it is a stage of where Jesus said, I and my Father are one,
mm-hmm.
a stage of oneness,
mm-hmm.
where you are heir to everything that belongs to the Father.
Mm.
You know, so, and all your property is mine.
Mm. Really, once
that
you have...
We are the...
Once you have the Lord
Children
himself.
Of God.
Yeah,
so,
that's
yes,
true.
We are heirs to.
So once you identify yourself with the creator
yes.
of this whole
yes.
creation, the whole creation is yours.
Yes. You know, talking about this oneness, Swami once gave a very nice interpretation
mm-hmm.
to this Gita shloka. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chadushkritam. So he said that the inner meaning is that God comes to protect the good. What is this good?
Mm-hmm.
He says, it is the feeling of oneness.
Oh.
That God mm-hmm. comes to foster
mm-hmm.
and protect within you.
Mm-hmm.
And what then is the wicked? He says mm-hmm. that there's no greater sin in thinking that you are separate from God. That is the greatest sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that you are separate,
mm-hmm.
God is one and you are one.
Mm.
That is a sin.
Mm.
So he comes to destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to protect the feeling of oneness and foster that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. In fact, I think Swami reinterprets that other shloka from the Gita also where Ananyas Chintayantu Ma. Generally it is said that those who think of Krishna without thinking of anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says it is not that, it is Ananyas Chinta. To
oh.
look at God and say that you are somebody else.
Oh, ho, ho.
You are the other.
Mm.
So he says, if you give up that, if you don't think of God as someone else, and then worship me, then I'll give you everything that you need.
In fact, Swami explains how, as you said, Auntie, Swami's physical form when it was here, for any news that you tell Swami, you'd say, Chala Santosham.
Yes. You know, also that Chala Santosham, you know, many times when... maybe the news is not good and he says Chala Santosham and then everybody will smile.
Mm.
But Swami said what he means is happiness that is constant.
Mm.
Happiness that is based on the Atman. So he is asking you to develop that, to be established in that happiness.
Mm.
which doesn't come and go and which is constant and based on the Atma.
Now, when Swami says Chala Santosham, this is the idea. But when Swami says Dunna Pota, I don't know what's the interpretation. Oftentimes, Swami look at boys and say Dunna Pota. That also is so much love.
Yes.
It's a, for the, those who don't understand Telugu, Dunna Pota is
yes.
he buffalo.
Yes.
I think
yes.
that comes.
Yes.
And in a sense, it is totally cut off from the world. The he buffalo, the loudest of horns cannot move it away from the road.
Someone would say, you know, when Swami says Bangaru, you have to be careful.
That's right. When he says Bangaru, be aware that you are going to be put through the fire.
Put in the fire.
Gold, you are going to be put through the fire.
Manuputa is any day safer.
Any day safer. So, that is the mysterious way Swami used these words. But I think we have more or less come to the point where we can go to the next clip.
Right.
The last
right.
clip in this discourse. Shall we play the clip?
Yes. We'll just listen to the last clip in that discourse.
Swami ki taginatvanti, Swami ki sambandhinchinatvanti yokka vicharam lopala, ye vidhamainatvanti yokka allakallolamlo jarugutu vastuntai.
In things relating to Swami, there may be so many upsetting things which may be happening.
అనేక మంది అనేక రకమైనటువంటి భావములతో కూడా ఉంటుంటారు.
డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ హ్యావ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫీలింగ్స్ టువర్డ్స్ మీ.
ఒకవైపున పూజించేవారు, ఒకవైపున దూషించేవారు.
ఆన్ వన్ సైడ్ పీపుల్ హూ వర్షిప్ మీ,
ఇది ఒక పర్వతము, అది ఒక పర్వతం.
దిస్ వన్ సైడ్ ఈజ్ అ మౌంటన్, అనదర్ సైడ్ దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో అనదర్ మౌంటన్.
కానీ ఈ పర్వతములు రెండు కూడాను కింద గుంతలు ఉంటున్నాయి.
బట్ బిసైడ్స్ బోత్ దీస్ మౌంటన్స్ దెర్ ఈస్ ఎ బిగ్,
ఒక దగ్గర మట్టి గుట్ట కావాలంటే కింద గుంత ఉండాలి కదా.
If there is one mound, there must be a pit elsewhere.
E gutta matte gunta matte gunta matte gutta matte.
The mud in the pit and the mud in the mound are the same. The
same mud. Samaname.
For me, both are the same.
E rakamainatvanti yokka tattvame nijamaina atma tattvam.
This is the real type of atma tattva which one has to
understand. Aithe okkokappudu pillalu chesetvanti yokka deenni patti koncham nenu koppadinattuga chestanu.
Sometimes I act as if I am angry, depending upon what is
going on. లోపల నుంచి వచ్చేటువంటిది కాదు.
It is only outside. Inside there is no anger whatsoever.
ఒక్కొక్కరితో నేను నెలల కొద్దీ నేను మాట్లాడను.
Sometimes for months I do not talk.
ఇది వాళ్ళ రోగానికి తగిన మందు.
This is medicine appropriate to his disease.
ఎందుకంటే వారిని సరిచేసే నిమిత్తమై ఈ రకమైనటువంటి మందును ఉపయోగపెట్టాలి.
In order to rectify and correct them, this kind of treatment is
necessary. Swami, ఎందుకు నాతో మాట్లాడటం లేదు?
Why is Swami not talking?
అడిగే అధికారం నీకు ఎక్కడ ఉంది? అది నా ఇష్టం.
Well, it is my wish.
ఇప్పుడు దీనికి ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ.
One small example here.
ఒక డాక్టర్ దగ్గరికి నలుగురు పేషెంట్ వచ్చారు.
Four patients go to a doctor.
నలుగురికి కడుపు నొప్పి.
All the four of them have the stomach.
బాహ్య దృష్టితో చూస్తే నలుగురికి కడుపు నొప్పి.
When you see from an external point of view, both of all of
them వచ్చేటప్పటికి ఆ డాక్టర్ ఏం చేస్తాడు? చూస్తాడు, పరీక్షిస్తాడు.
డాక్టర్ ఎగ్జామిన్స్ వన్ పేషెంట్.
నాయన ఏమి లేదు, ఇంత హాట్ వాటర్ ఫర్మెంటేషన్ చేసి సరిపోతుంది అంటాడు.
యూ గివ్ ఎ లిటిల్ హాట్ వాటర్ ఫర్మెంటేషన్ దెన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విల్ బి ఓకే.
పంపించేస్తాడు తక్షణమే.
హీ గివ్స్ మెడిసిన్.
ఇంకొకరు నా కడుపు నొప్పి అని వచ్చేస్తాడు.
The second person comes with
వాళ్ళకి సోడా బైకార్బ్ మ్యాక్సిల్ రెండు కలిపేసి ఇచ్చేసేపు గ్యాస్ట్రిక్ ట్రబుల్ వెళ్లిపోతుంది అంటాడు.
It is a gastric trouble and he gives the medicine and disposes him off.
Mooda vaadu ostadu.
The third person comes.
Kai nayana neeku salt isthanu rendu thuru bed ayipothe saripothundi velipom antadu.
If the bowels were to move, you would be all right. He gives the medicine and he sends him.
Nalugo vaadu ostadu.
Fourth person comes.
Immediately ga operation cheyal antadu.
He says immediate operation is required.
Ee veedi paina dveshama doctor ku.
Is he angry with him?
Kaadu kaadu, veedi jabbu vere.
Your disease, you is
mean appendicitis.
This is appendicitis.
Sachchaname cheyali.
Therefore there is need for surgery.
Ade vidhamugane okkokari bhavamulanu, okkokari charyalanu, okkokari talampulanu puraskarinchukoni vaariki taginatvanti yokka idi nenu andistuntanu.
I give the appropriate treatment depending upon
okkokari chudane chudanu.
I do not look at all some person.
Okkortho maatadane maatadanu.
I do not talk to some people at all.
ఒక్కొక్కరు ఇటు వస్తే నేను అటు పోతుంటాను.
ఇఫ్ సమ్ పీపుల్ కమ్ దిస్ వే ఐ గో ది అదర్ వే.
ఇవన్నీ నేను చేసేటువంటి ప్రిస్క్రిప్షన్స్, ఆ మందులు ఇంత ఇచ్చేటువంటివి ఇవన్నీ.
These are all the prescriptions and the medicines given to the various diseases.
ఎందుకోసం ఇస్తున్నాను?
Why am I giving this medicine?
నాలోన ఒక నియమం ఉంటుండాలి.
I also have some code.
నా మాటకు చాలా విలువ.
My word is extremely
valuable. మీరు ఇవ్వకపోయినా నేను నా మాత్రం నా మాటకు నేను విలువిస్తాను.
You may not give value to my word, but I give value to my word.
కనుక నా మాటను సరిగా నడుచుకోలేనప్పుడు నేను వారితో మాట్లాడి నా మాటను వేస్ట్ చేయటం నాకు ఇష్టం ఉండదు.
If one does not follow my word, I don't want to waste my word on him.
కనుక నా దారిని నేను కాపాడుకునే నిమిత్తమే నేను మాట్లాడకుండా ఉంటాను కొన్ని కారణాల పట్టి.
In order to protect the value of my own word, I don't talk.
మీరు ఎందుకు నడుచుకు స్వామి నాతో మాట్లాడటం లేదని మాత్రమే చెప్పుకుంటారు కానీ నేను స్వామి ఆజ్ఞ నడుచుకోలేదని ఎందుకు అనుకోకూడదు?
You go on telling that Swami is not talking to me. Why don't you tell yourself that you are not following Swami?
Kevalam idi one way traffic kaadu.
This is not
one way traffic.
This is not one way traffic.
Give and take. Rendittini vicharam cheyali neeku samartham unte.
There must be give and take.
Nenu ee vidhanga cheyatam chethane Swami naato maatladatam ledu aneetundi yokka satyanni neevu gurtinchukunte neevu inka mundu aa rakamga cheyakunda untavu.
Recognize the truth that you have not followed Swami's word, therefore Swami is not
talking. Kaani ee naati bhaktulu aa rakamga vicharinchatam ledu Swami maatladatam ledu Swami maatladatam ledu ade enni chustunna kaani taanu chesinatundi yokka tappunu taanu gurtinchadani prayatninchatam ledu.
Today's devotees do not recognize their own faults. They only say that Swami is not talking to me, Swami is not talking to me.
Kanuka motta mota స్వామి మాట్లాడమని కోరనక్కర్లేదు. నీవు ఆ తప్పును చేయకుండా ఉండు, స్వామి వచ్చి మాట్లాడతాడు.
ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ కమిట్ దట్ మిస్టేక్, స్వామి విల్ కమ్ టు యూ అండ్ టాక్ టు యూ.
వర్షానికి మనం ప్రార్థించుకుంటే వంకలు దానిపాటికే కారుతాయి, దానిపాటికే ప్రవహిస్తాయి.
ఇఫ్ ఓన్లీ యూ కెన్ ప్రే ఫర్ ది రెయిన్, ది రివర్స్ ఆటోమేటికలీ ఫ్లో వెన్ దేర్ ఇస్ రెయిన్.
వర్షానికి ఒక ప్రార్థన, వంకలకు పొర్లటానికి ఒక ప్రార్థన, ప్రవహించడానికి ఒక ప్రార్థన, ఇన్ని ప్రార్థనలు చేయనక్కర్లేదు.
There is no need for a separate prayer for the rain, a separate prayer for the
ఆజ్ఞని శిరసావహించుకుంటే అనుగ్రహం అక్కడే లభిస్తుంది.
Follow the commands, grace dawns there.
విద్యార్థులారా, మొట్టమొదట మీ మాటలకు మీరు విలువను పెట్టుకోండి, మాటలను విలువలో సంపాదించుకోండి, మాటను విలువ స్థాయిలో ఉంచుకోండి.
Dear students, respect the word which you have just given. Consider your own word as a valuable word.
రెండు కన్నులున్నాయి, రెండు చూడొచ్చు మీరు.
You have got two eyes.
రెండు చెవులు ఉన్నాయి, రెండు వినొచ్చును మీరు.
You have two ears.
కానీ నాలుగు ఒక్కటే ఉంది.
But you have got only one.
కనుకనే మాటకు ప్రాణము సత్యము.
That is why truth is the very life of the world.
మాటకు ప్రాణము సత్యము, కోటకు ప్రాణంబు వాలు కోటి తరితిన్.
For the promissory note, it is the signature which
no. కోటకు.
For the quote. For the four, it is the army which is the life.
Jatiki pranamu manamu.
It is the respect and honor which is the life for.
Notaku pranamu ralu.
For a promissory note, it is the signature.
Mana signature lekapothe then promissory note ki ekkada vilu undi?
Promissory note is valueless without the signature.
Kanukane mana mataku satyame pranamu.
Therefore, truth is the life of our world.
Appude satyame vajeti.
That is the meaning of truth always triumphs.
Kanuka daiva tattvanni gurtinchalanukunte idi andariki arthamayyetundi kaadu.
It is not possible for everyone to understand.
Sai daivamu deeniki kudunu kungadu pongadu.
God never sings or
prapanchamanta vachi dooshinchina gaani nenu kungaru.
Let the whole world come and criticize me.
Prapanchamanta vachi varninchina nenu pongalu.
I don't get flattered even the whole world.
నా సత్యము నాది.
My truth is truth by itself.
కుంగి పుంగేటువంటి వారికి వారిలో ఉండేటువంటి దోషమే దీనికి రియాక్షన్.
The person who sings, sings on account of
దోషము లేనట్టు ఎందుకు కుంగాలి, ఎందుకు పొంగాలి?
A person who is free from defects, where is the need for him either to sing?
కనుకనే ఈ హృదయ స్థాయి ఎందు ఉండేటువంటిది ఒక్కటే, అదే పవిత్రము అనేటువంటి విశ్వాసాన్ని మనం బలపరుచుకుంటే ఇంకా దేనికి మనం ఏ విధమైనటువంటి విచారముకు అవకాశమే ఉండదు.
ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ స్ట్రెంగ్థన్ ది ఫెయిత్ దాట్ హార్ట్ ఈజ్ ఏ డివైన్ ఎంటిటీ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఫిక్స్ యువర్ సైట్ ఆన్ దాట్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో నీడ్ ఫర్ ఎనీబడీ.
క్రమక్రమేణా మన యొక్క సమ్మర్ క్లాస్ కోర్సు అంతా కూడా సమీపిస్తుంటున్నాయి ముగించడానికి.
Our summer classes are gradually coming to an end.
అందువల్ల ఇలాంటి అవకాశం అనేటువంటిది చాలా దుర్లభము.
ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ రేర్ టు గెట్ సచ్ ఎ
దానిని పురస్కరించుకునియే నేను కూడాను కొన్ని కొన్ని అధిక కాలం తీసుకుని మీతో సంభాషించడానికి అవకాశం ఇస్తున్నాను.
టేకింగ్ దిస్ ఆపర్చునిటీ ఐ ఆమ్ ఆల్సో గివింగ్ యూ ఎన్ ఆపర్చునిటీ టు
ఇంకా ఉన్నది రెండు దినములే.
దేర్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ 2 డేస్ లెఫ్ట్.
ఈ రెండు దినముల లోపల కూడాను స్వామి యొక్క నిజతత్వాన్ని నిజబోధనను నిజాకారాన్ని సరైన రీతిలో గుర్తింపజేయడానికి తగినటువంటి ఒక అవకాశం కూడా ఉంటుండాలి.
దేర్ విల్ బి ఆపర్చునిటీ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద రియల్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ స్వామి.
దానిని మీరు అర్థం చేసుకుంటే
రియల్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ స్వామి
మీరు అర్థం చేసుకోనక్కర్లేదు.
ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో నీడ్ ఫర్ యూ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్.
కుమ్మరింటిలో పోయి కుండలన్నీ మట్టితోనే చేసినవనేటువంటి అర్థం చేసుకుంటే ఇంకా దానికి కుండలు ఏవైనా కూడా పేర్లు పెట్టుకోవచ్చు.
వన్స్ యు నో
ఆధారాన్ని ముందు చూడాలి.
వన్స్ యు నో దట్ ఆల్ ది పార్ట్స్ ఆర్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ ద సేమ్ క్లే దట్ ఈస్ ఎనఫ్.
కనుక స్వామి యొక్క ఆధారతత్వాన్ని మీరు కొంతవరకు గుర్తించడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయండి.
యూ షుడ్ మేక్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్.
కేవలం ఆధేయాన్ని మాత్రమే మీరు గుర్తించడానికి ప్రయత్నించనక్కర్లేదు.
The real basis of Swami, not merely
ఆధేయం అంతా మార్పు చెందేటువంటిది.
The form may be changing.
ఆధారమే మార్పు చెందనటువంటిది.
The basis does not change.
అదే సత్యం.
That is
అదే నిత్యం. అదే ఆత్మ. అదే హృదయం. అదే నేను.
That is heart. That is ఆత్మా. And that is yourself.
Wow, what a powerful clip and what a powerful ending.
Yes,
I just feel like keeping silent and going on to the next discourse. It's just so powerful, so powerful.
And Swami begins with that portion where he says, if I don't come and talk to you, I think Swami is talking about his freedom.
But the beautiful part, aunty, as you just said, you know, one may always we get this thought, if you are always immersed in that unity with creation, how would you lead your life in this daily world? Will you, how will you react to situations? How will you be? So at the right point, Swami is quoting himself. He is teaching by example. He is saying, this is how I react to a situation. This is how, because I am always in that unity, but this is how the body reacts to a particular situation. And he's setting an example and driving us to listen to that and understand that.
Always for our own good.
Correct.
Always
correct.
For our own progress.
Mm.
And of course, he says sometimes, you know, he gives the, when the road is under repair, the traffic is diverted. So sometimes, if I don't come there or if I don't talk, it's for your own good. So that you will introspect, so that you will progress. Then, once that has passed, then the traffic can come again.
It's amazing because many times, you know, many people are getting this treatment. We would call it the treatment.
Yes.
And Swami would not speak to many people for, as he said, sometimes even for months I will not speak. And all the time it is with love. And there are times when this would be almost a regular annual feature when we were in our school days. And Swami would stop speaking to the students. And then we would all surround Swami and plead to Swami, please Swami, you should speak to us. But he would say that if I am avoiding you, he gave this explanation to one person, isn't it because I love you more? He said, suppose you are sitting in one place and I want to avoid you. I should know that you are sitting there and then I should avoid you. So for that much amount of time, I am thinking only about you.
And Swami says that,
yes,
first I have to identify where you are sitting. So I have already seen where you are. So I have seen you once.
Yes.
Then I go past you. I am thinking, I should not see him. So all the while I am thinking about you.
I am just thinking, so blessed are those people with whom Swami expressed his anger, and Swami, took the personal interest of correcting them.
Yes.
How close they are to Swami.
Yes.
He did it with everybody, but
yes.
You know, auntie, in this context, there's an incident which I heard from some of my relatives.
Yes.
You know, way back in the 60s, I think, late 60s, there was one American who had brought the first LP record of Swami. And Swami was, he was sitting with it to get it blessed. And Swami was avoiding him. And So he was thinking that, you know, this is the first record of Bhagwan. And the moment this record goes out, Swami's name and his message can spread all over the world. And he was thinking he has done the greatest service. And he was waiting for it, waiting for Swami to come and bless. But Swami was constantly avoiding him. Then he didn't understand why. He said, I'm trying to do something to help Swami. And this is what is happening. Then there was an old devotee who was next to him. And he said, are you wondering why Swami is avoiding you? He said, yeah, I'm really wondering, but I don't know why Swami is doing it. He said, what are you thinking? He said, see, I'm thinking that once this record goes out, people will know about Swami, they can hear Swami's voice. He says, no. You give it as an offering to Swami, and you say, Swami, whatever money comes from this, I will use it for seva. This is your voice, this is your work. People have to buy it at a cost, because you cannot give it free to everybody. But whatever money comes from that, I will use it back in service. And it is like an instant reaction. As he was thinking this and changing, Swami, who was near the interview room, turned and came back straight to him.
Yes.
He said, oh, you have come. And he blessed the records with so much joy. The moment he changed his thought, Swami came straight to him. So it's so amazing, and sometimes Swami immediately responds, says that's the treatment is being given for you to go on the right path.
Yes. I think another devotee was explaining, you know, he left everything. He said, I have to get a word from Swami, and things are going wrong in my family, in my life. So he says that till Swami speaks to me, I'm not going to come out of Puttaparthi. So he comes and sits here, exhausts all his money. I think the last day he's finishing all his resources. And Swami is not, I mean, every day, wherever he sits, Swami just avoids that region completely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and at one point he sees that Swami is coming, and again taking the detour and going away. So he's desperate. He's saying, Swami, you have to come and talk to me today. This is the last occasion I'm having. And so he says that he frantically starts searching within, what is that one thing that Swami has asked me to give up, or asked me not to do, and I'm not able to do this. So he found one particular thing that he was saying that Swami had asked him to do. So he just made a mental resolve. He said, Swami, when I get back home, I'm going to do this. The thought passes his mind. He sees Swami turning, comes straight to him. Swami says, when did you come? After 3 months.
Oh my God. It's really amazing. And so, as you rightly said, for a person who is ever immersed in that awareness and consciousness that the entire creation is one, his actions and his behavior in this world is always filled with love. Whether he is speaking to you lovingly, or he is scolding you, or he is avoiding you, or he is doing anything to you, it is all love. And if we are to reach such a state, first we have to experience that unity. And the whole beauty is Swami saying, you should not consider this as a great opportunity. You are here and you are listening to this beautiful message. So consider this as a great opportunity and then rise up.
Yes.
I think that's what it is.
Absolutely. And he talks about obedience, implicit obedience and following Swami's words. Two things I've noticed, you know, and Swami giving a lot of importance to. One is this obedience, implicit obedience, to win His grace. And the other is sacrifice. If you give up your selfishness, self-interest, and have the good of others.
Correct, correct.
Do what Swami wants you to do. And sacrifice and implicit obedience, both. Swami.
And he actually, more or less, I would think, service or seva that you do just to help some or to share is the highest form of, experiencing unity in action.
Very true.
How do you express that feeling of unity? Only when you share.
Yes.
I think that, in a sense, is more or less the highest way of expressing that unity.
Yes.
And here very beautifully Swami says, I value my words. if you do not value my words, I am not going to waste them on.
It only shows how much trust Swami had when he gave so many discourses, each one spanning for an hour.
Yes.
I think if Swami did not trust that these words will one day reach us with him, I don't think he would have ever spoken so much.
So beautiful. And
and I think that two connections that Swami gives, you know, initially Swami says that, you know, I do what is right. I'm not bothered about you questioning me. And the later that Swami says that I don't get elated if somebody praises me. I'm not put down if somebody criticizes me. Actually, Swami says that is where I derive my ability to do what is exactly right. Because I don't bothered even what you think of me when I'm doing good to you. You know, that state of equanimity, as Auntie was saying, that you know, that's the measure of how spiritual you become.
You know, the speech. Speech is so sacred. Swami always says speech is sacred. And it's a divine gift bestowed on us. And in the Gayatri, there is the aspect of speech. Saraswati signifies vak. You know, the little stuti which we teach the children, Ya Kundendu Tushar. In that there is one line. Ya Brahma Chuta Shankara Prabhuti Bhi Devai Sada Vandita. Swami once in a tri session only mentioned the meaning of that, that from the beginning the gods bow down to Saraswati, because Saraswati signifies purity. The form, she's seated in a white lotus and dressed in, so she signifies purity. So first there has to be purity before you can attain divinity. And as she is the goddess that signifies the aspect of speech, purity in speech will lead you towards divinity. That is why she comes first, and the gods are giving importance to her, figuratively, but that is what it means, that first purity and then divinity.
Unity, purity, divinity.
Yes.
Swami says unity, purity, divinity.
Wonderful analogy. Swami says, no, no promissory note is useless without the signature.
Yes. And truth is the signature of life of a word.
Words.
And in the Gayatri, you know, the aspect of truth expresses itself as harmony of thought, word and deed. So the creation has emerged out of the harmony of thought, word and deed. I separated myself from myself so that I could love myself. That is the very source. And there was no one to know who I am till I created this world with one word. So that is the word. And then of course the creation. So creation emerged out of the harmony of thought, word and deed. That is man's inner nature. And man has to go back to his source through the same harmony of thought, word and deed in his life. And Gayatri, as Swami says, that Gayatri has two other names. Gayatri, Savitri, Saraswati. So Gayatri is the one who is master of the senses, signifies senses. Savitri is the life force and also truth. And Saraswati is vak, speech. And the three signify trikarana shuddhi. So the practice of Gayatri is not just confined to reciting the mantra, but the practice of truth in daily life. This trikarana shuddhi is the practice of Gayatri. Otherwise, Swami says everything is pulling in different directions. You are.
And I think in one of his earlier discourses in the series,
yes,
Swami said, if you have unity of word and action, it is more or less satyam. But if you have harmony of thought, word and deed, it can be possible only through rhythm.
Yes.
That is rhythm.
Yes.
That is the ultimate truth.
Yes.
So only at that state of awareness,
yes,
where you can have complete harmony of thought, word and deed.
Yes.
Because only that is the ultimate truth.
Yes. Yes. And I think this was mentioned earlier in one of the earlier sessions, that Swami had given this, the essential meaning of the Gayatri.
Okay. Yes.
And where one sees that the source of Gayatri is universal love. Mm. And this aspect of harmony and of thought, word and deed, you know, is the essence of Gayatri. Mm. And this is what Swami had given to a devotee, which I think J.B. Sir shared with everybody. Mm. So what Swami had said is, O Universal Mother, I pray to you to flood my heart with pure love. Let this love then stimulate pure thoughts in my mind. Thereafter, let those pure thoughts of the mind be converted into good and loving words spoken by me, and also good, selfless and loving actions performed by my body for the good of everyone, everywhere.
So, unique translation, essence of the Gayatri mantra.
Yes. And this gives the, you know, the harmony of thought, word and deed, which one should practice through selfless prema. And that is the practice of Gayatri, not confining it to only chanting.
And as you are saying this, and when we go through the last portion of the discourse, Swami is saying, I value my words, because his words are truth. And if we don't value the truth, then he is going to avoid you. He is not going to come and speak to you. So the way of valuing the truth is to have this harmony of thought, word and deed.
Yes.
I think that's that's the way of putting it into practice.
Yes. Just towards the end, I think Swami emphasizes a little on prayer. Swami is saying that, you know, you need to make only one prayer and the rest will follow.
What's that?
He talks about prayer. He says that, you know, you don't have to pray for the rivers to flow separately, the rain to come separately. You pray for what is necessary. What has to follow will follow one after the other.
Correct.
I'm reminded of, you know, in a Thrayi session, Sanjeev Sahni sir was speaking, and he said, he started his talk by saying, prayer is the only, is the greatest strength of man.
Okay.
And the only weakness of God. Swami was so happy with that statement, he looked up and said, tell once more. Almost acknowledging that yes, it is the only weakness of God. That last statement in this discourse of Swami makes very powerful.
Yes.
No? Swami says, I am the truth, I am the Atma, I am the Adhara.
I am that. It means he says, I am that oneness and that feeling of unity.
Adhara Tattva.
So basically it is seeing Swami's physical form, experiencing his love, all the time understanding and being in that awareness that he is the Atman who is inside us.
Yes. In fact, he said, you know, that when you say I, that Swami is in me, that is half truth.
Correct.
And when you say I am in Swami or I am in God, then it's full truth. Because God is omnipresent. If God is omnipresent, there's no some separate place for you. You are in God and God is in you, and that is the full truth.
Correct.
Like what Swami says, Isaac Tigret, he was once sharing the first interview Swami gave him, Swami was giving him this explanation. He said, have you seen a fish in the water? Swami said, water is above the fish, below the fish, all around the fish, and inside the fish. Swami says, your relation with God is that. So I think, thank you so much for being with us. I think we've got to the end of this program. Really wonderful. It does make a lot of difference. Years of experience, I think, shows.
Thank you for the opportunity. In fact, this series, I always think of it as something like a yajna. A jnana yajna, where with every session we are sacrificing some of our ignorance in the fire of wisdom that Swami has given us.
Hopefully technology will allow us to have you participating from Mumbai itself. You can participate from there. Pray to Swami that such things happen. And as Swami said, we are coming to the end of this series.
Yes.
And let's see what Swami inspires after this series. If he inspires us to take up our next series, we would be really blessed.
Yes. So on behalf of all our listeners, thank you, Aunty. And on behalf of all of us here, we offer this humble effort of ours at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. Thank you for being with us, dear listeners. Jai Sainam.
Sat సత్యం జ్ఞానమనంతం బ్రహ్మ. 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 సత్యం బ్రహ్మ. జ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ. అనంతం బ్రహ్మ. సత్యం జ్ఞానమనంతం బ్రహ్మ. సత్యం జ్ఞానమనంతం బ్రహ్మ.